The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now on 960 The Patriot, it's the Middle East Radio Forum, your chance to talk about the turmoil in the Middle East. To call in live, dial anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free at 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're listening from. Yes, my name is William Wolf. I'm here in the studio bringing the show to you today. Excuse me. Next Sunday, it'll be Mayor Jolovitz. We'll talk about that in a minute. This show is in its 21st year of broadcast, the longest-running brokered show in the history of the state of Arizona. And I thank my listeners for using the services of the advertisers to make that possible. And I'll remind you, there is a listener dinner 2 weeks from today, 5:30. That's on January 21 at the Ethiopian Restaurant, 1740 East McDowell in Phoenix. Please come. Great food and conversation. I'll do the announcement again later in the show. Please spread the word about this show. It is available everywhere in the world on my website, MiddleEastRadioForum.com. Have a great show for you today. As usual, we're going to start off with Yoni TV, and then I have my special guest, Kenneth Timmerman. Yoni, what do you have for us today, please?
Bill, today's a three-month anniversary of 10-7. Sad day. So many idiots, so many cowards, so many nations and institutions are full of these kinds of people. Today is 3 months to the day of 10-7, and the idiots are slipping back the normal. The shock is gone. Blinken talks about ending the cycle of violence, as if both sides have a share in starting the violence. I have spoken about this capo, this pretend Jew, licking the bottom of the Marxist jackboots to be in power. Your forefathers that kept Torah would be ashamed of you. They prayed and dreamed of Israel, never knowing such a traitor like yourself would come from the family tree. If we are honest, we must ask a tough question. Why does the United States of America only have Israel's back to a certain point and then scream about civilian casualties or other such nonsense? Happens in every war. Civilians, we have to ask, do they even exist in this conflict? For sure the Palestinians, oops, really, Amalek, doesn't view a difference between an Israeli soldier or a police officer and a one-month-old Jewish baby. The U.S., in the last war that it won, World War II, did the U.S. care about civilians when they firebombed Dresden and Tokyo? Did they care about civilians when they nuked Nagasaki and Hiroshima? Of course they didn't. But let us get to the global war on terror, where according to some sources, the USA killed maybe up to 4 million civilians in strikes on schools, weddings, funerals, etc. But the USA is pressuring Israel. As a result, the commander of the IDF intelligence, Chief Major General Aharon Haliva, in a speech on Thursday, dropped completely the idea of destroying Hamas as a goal of the war. Then we have the many other idiots in the Knesset and the IDF talking about what to do the day after the war. Stupid ideas like putting the Palestinian Authority in charge or putting a multinational force of Arab militaries in Gaza, which might not be a bad idea if we can cut a deal with them to get rid of the Palestinians slowly over time, you know, a few every night. We can give you Gaza to build the world's biggest and best casino in the world for Gulf Arabs and the Saudis to come and play with a 50-50 split on the profit. Israel would make so much money, we could stop taking American aid with the strings that are attached to it. The so-called Supreme Court this week, in the middle of the war, ruled on the overturning of the reasonableness law by the Knesset. This racist, elite, last bastion of Ashkenazi commies that started Israel have no shame in this naked bid to take over and do away with the will of the Israeli people. A political cartoon that caused a stir showed retired Chief Justice Esther Hayut stabbing an Israeli soldier laying face down in the back with the flag of the Supreme Court. Did the court this week take us back to pre-10/7 and draw the line for more leftist demonstrations? A group of reserve soldiers in Gaza, through a spokesman, said they would not allow any group in the country to take us back to 10/6. Is a coup a possibility in Israel's future? To close, White House National Security spokesman John Kirby defended UNRWA, that's the United Nations Refugee Works Administration, saying that UNRWA does important work. In fact, they're doing a lot of the heavy lifting right now in terms of trying to get food, water, medicine to the people of Gaza, all up and down the strip. They're doing a lot of work, and they're doing it in harm's way, very much so in harm's way. When a reporter at the press conference pointed out that the USA has given UNRWA $1 billion, Kirby doubled down on how good UNRWA is. Well, here's what they're good at. They're good at running schools that turned a generation of Palestinians into psychopaths by teaching in every subject that Jews must be murdered and Israel destroyed. They did a great job at building rocket launchers in their hospitals, schools, and mosques. The employees of UNRWA did a great job at holding our hostages in their homes. Israeli leaders for decades have been afraid to stand up to the U.S., cut ties with the U.S., sell our products, both military and otherwise, where we want. We need new leadership with men and women of faith in Hashem, Torah, and Am Yisrael. If we continue on the same path post-10/7 as we are on pre-10/7, then we are going to have more 10/7s. We will get weaker while our enemy gets stronger. A news flash, since I wrote this morning. According to reports, the USA is worried that Bibi will take advantage of the situation in the North to rebuild his political career. You Americans are idiots. It was Galant and Gantz that favored a holding pattern against Hamas to go after the bigger danger, Hezbollah. Let's recap. So far, Hezbollah has fired over 1,700 rockets and missiles into Israel since October 7th, killing 15 Israelis, including 6 civilians. 60,000 residents of the north have been evacuated from their home due to the constant attacks by Hezbollah. We have to take on Hezbollah and eliminate them, just like we must do with the Palestinians.
All right, Yoni. Pipe dream, certainly, but I understand where you're coming from. We'll have to have you on for a whole show in the near future because there's so much that you like to talk about, if that's all right.
Let's do it.
All right. Ken Timmerman, welcome. Hello, Ken. Are you with us?
Hello, Bill, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, and I thank you very much for being on the show again. You've become one of my more frequent guests on the show because I love the expertise you bring to the show. And, of course, you'll be on many times in the future, I hope. We're going to talk about some of the things that are in the news now. And one of the main things is, will the United States allow Israel to win the Gaza war? Blinken's Middle East tour says otherwise. What do you know about that?
Well, I think this is really the big question. In every conflict previously that Israel has had, the Israeli government has allowed itself to be stood down, has allowed the United Nations to come in or allowed the United States to dictate the terms of a ceasefire. I remember seeing this myself on the ground in 2006 in northern Israel and Haifa along the Lebanon border. Condi Rice came in and voila, it was all over. And every time there is a UN ceasefire before the war is won, it just sets up for the next war. And I think on that case, Yoni is absolutely right about this. Israel has to fight this war until they have won total victory. Total victory, such as the Allied powers won against Nazi Germany in 1945. It has got to be total victory against Hamas. And the Palestinian Authority has got to understand as well. They can't be cozying up to Iran. and pretending that they are not involved in total war against Israel. They have to reform as well. So I think that's the good news. The bad news is Blinken's tour. You know, Blinken is still trying to impose a ceasefire. He's not going to succeed, and I think he knows it. He's tempered his rhetoric on this, and he's saying just that Israel has to be more careful about civilian casualties and that Palestinians in Gaza must be allowed to return to their homes instead of calling for a ceasefire. I would say that is really a tribute to Bibi Netanyahu and his coalition government's fortitude. Nobody expected it. I know Yoni certainly didn't expect it, but I'm quite impressed to see that they have stood up to the United States and made the United States government, Biden of all people, Biden's administration despises Israel. They despise Bibi Netanyahu, and yet they are not forcing him to end the war. That is the good part of the news here.
You know, you hear some commentators saying that this has to be a proportional response. What are they saying? Israelis have to rape 5,000 women and has to burn 1,000 babies? I mean, what are they saying with this stupid proportional argument?
Well, you know, that has never been a rational argument. It has always been a way of going after either the United States or Israel against when we are fighting wars against terrorists. The terrorists are not proportional. They are, you know, specifically going after civilians. They're going after civilian targets because that's what they do. So I really don't take those arguments very seriously. I don't think they have a great deal of merit. And I'm very glad to hear that there are few people in the U.S. Congress who are using those terms any longer.
Okay, why does Israel even allow the United States or the United Nations to dictate how they respond? I mean, their citizens, their soldiers' lives are on the line. And why do they have to always seem to allow the United States or the United Nations to dictate to them what they can and cannot do? I don't get it.
Well, I don't pretend to understand domestic Israeli politics. There is a, you know, play between the left and the right, for sure, and there has been for decades. But the fact is, in every war until this one, Israeli governments on the left and on the right have allowed themselves to be pushed around by the international community before achieving victory. And each time it led to a new war. This time, the first time, Netanyahu and his coalition government have stood up. And I think they've made it very clear, even the Arabs, while they go to the United Nations, even South Africa, with this pathetic appeal to the International Criminal Court in The Hague that Israel is committing genocide, a case that is going to be, quote, heard this coming week. They all understand this war is going to continue until Israel wins its victory against Hamas.
Okay, what does a victory against Hamas really look like? I mean, the Gazans are still going to be living in Gaza. You're going to still have Hamas people mixed in with the civilians. What does winning the war really mean?
Winning the war means exactly what the IDF chief of staff, Herzi Halevi, has said. It means exactly what Bibi Netanyahu said. It means that Hamas ceases to exist as a military or political organization. They no longer control Gaza. The tunnels have been destroyed. Their capability of launching attacks against Israel has been decimated. They have no more rockets. They have no more rocket manufacturing facilities. And much more than that, it means also that UNRWA, those UNRWA schools that have been preaching hate, teaching a generation of Palestinian children to hate Israel and want to murder Jews, they must be dismantled. That terror curriculum must be replaced with a rational curriculum that promotes peace between Palestinians and Israelis, such as exists in Israeli schools, by the way. Israeli schools do not teach young Israelis to hate Palestinians or hate Arabs. So it is more than just a military victory. There must also be fundamental change in the way international aid is delivered into Gaza and the way international organizations operate in Gaza. Absolutely key to the victory.
And why does the United States and Western Europe even fund anything to UNRWA? It's a hate organization. It's unlike any other refugee situation. It focuses only on the so-called Palestinians. Why do we keep giving them money?
Well, that's a very legitimate question, and I can't give you a simple rational explanation except that the left in Europe and in the United States loves the Palestinians. They always have loved the Palestinians, and anything that helps the Palestinians, they want to continue. UNRWA has marginalized Israel. Immediately, they call on Israelis on Israel for committing war crimes. Let me remind our listeners of something. And there was a time in Gaza before this war when Israel provided hard evidence of UNRWA schools being used as military bases by Hamas, as UNRWA hospitals being used as weapons stockpiles by Hamas. And UNRWA actually responded, "Oh, we will carry out an investigation of this." That was in 2014. So this has been going on for quite some time, and UNRWA has never reformed itself.
Okay, Ken, I've got to stop you there. We are coming up on the first of the three breaks on today's show. And I'll remind the listeners again, our listener dinner, 2 weeks from today, the 21st of January, 5:30 p.m., at a very, very good restaurant. It's the Ethiopian restaurant, 1740 East McDowell Park in the back. If you haven't ever had Ethiopian food before, you're in for a treat. And if you know Ethiopian food, this is the best. I personally give it my guarantee because I love that restaurant. In any event, please continue to support the show by using the services of the advertisers. And each time you do, please tell them you're doing so because they advertise on this program. That's the lifeblood of this show. As you know, this is a brokered show, which means I have to pay for the time each and every month. And it gets very expensive, but the only way I'm able to do it is because I have listeners who support my advertisers. Often it costs you nothing to support the advertisers. What I mean by that is just switch where you're spending money from someone who does not advertise on the show to someone who does. I know each and every one of the advertisers personally. They give great goods and services, and I'd like to continue bringing the show to you for an indefinite time into the future. 21st year now. I may be talking to you about the 31st year. Who knows? In any event, please stay with us. We'll be right back after the break. The authentic Ethiopian restaurant located at 1740 East McDowell in Phoenix is a great change of pace from your ordinary restaurant. Authentic Ethiopian flavors in a comfortable setting will keep you coming back for more. Vegetarian and meat selections will satisfy everyone in your family. You just have to try it for yourself. That's Authentic Ethiopian Restaurant, 1740 East McDowell, telephone 602-252-2286. Dassault and Macros are my business and personal CPAs for a good reason. Prompt and accurate work means I trust them with all my accounting needs. Conveniently located just off the 51 freeway at 3519 East Shea Boulevard, Suite 122, give them a call and see what they can do for you. 602-996-8885. That's Dassault and Macros, 602-996-8885.
Shuttleman Physical Medicine, Chiropractic, and Acupuncture is your go-to medical office in the West Valley. Call 623-214-7600. That's 623-214-7600. With two offices to serve you, there is no reason to stay in pain when Dr. Scheidelman may be able to help you. Call 623-214-7600 for Scheidelman Physical Medicine, Chiropractic, and Acupuncture.
Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning Offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate planning, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 20 years. Founding partner Carmen Saccone has over 40 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities and advisory services are offered through the LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA/SIPC.
I am William Wolf, creator of Middle East Radio Forum and an injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I only advertise on the show where you can get to know me and my values. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Please give me a call if you have need for an injury attorney at 602-279-1914.
You are listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Welcome back to today's edition of Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolf. My guest is Ken Timmerman. I will mention that Ken's 12th book of nonfiction, and the rest is history, Tales of Hostages, Arms Dealers, Dirty Tricks, and Spies, can be ordered from Amazon using the direct link that you will get if you Google it. No problem. I can give it to you, but it's kind of complicated. Just Google it, and you'll be able to get it. Ken Timmerman, T-I-M-M-E-R-M-A-N. Ken, thank you again for being on the show today. One thing that I expected is that Iran would have ordered Hezbollah to join the fight on October 7th and thereby open up two major fronts that Israel would have to defend against. Why didn't Iran do that, if you know?
Well, that is a great question. It's a very important question as well, Bill, and it tells us a lot about Iran's intentions. Clearly, if they had really wanted to rip Israel apart, that's what they would have done. It would have created a massive, massive war, much bigger even than the war in Gaza, which is unlike anything that Israel has ever fought before. So why didn't they do it? There's only one answer. It's because the Iranians understand that there are limits to their outrageous behavior. They have a tendency to do things like this in history. They will commit an absolute, utter outrage, a terrorist attack. And then they'll say, oh, no, that wasn't us. That was some other person. That was some other group. And then they kind of retreat. They pull back. In this case as well, remember their initial reaction after October 7th was to salute Hamas, to call Hamas leaders to warmly congratulate them on what happened. And then 3, 4, 5 days later, they said, oh, no, we didn't have anything to do with this. And that was, of course, after information surfaced in the Wall Street Journal and elsewhere that they were involved actively in the planning of the attacks. And so the Iranians don't want to get caught for having committed these horrific acts. They pull back. And that tells me one thing very important, Bill, is that even the Ayatollahs, even this clerical regime in Tehran, with all of its eschatology about, you know, this end of the world Shia beliefs that a major war will usher in the return of the hidden imam and the fight against Jerusalem. Despite all of that, this regime still has assets that they want to protect. They do not want a massive Israeli or American attack on the Iranian homeland, because I believe they are convinced that will lead to the overthrow of the regime.
Okay, now Iran has been caught, though. I mean, there's no question about it. And are they afraid that Israel might actually have to nuke them or something like that? It's an open secret that Israel is an atomic power. And obviously, if Israel is going to be facing a terrible situation where it's going to be destroyed if they don't act, they're going to use all the weapons they have.
Which is, again, why the Iranians are dancing with their nuclear weapons capabilities. They're dancing with the IAEA. They're skirting right along the line of becoming a nuclear weapons state. There's still enough ambiguity about them having weaponized their highly enriched uranium that has kept the Israelis from taking action so far. Now, remember, the Israelis have taken a lot of steps to inhibit Iran's nuclear weapons program. They have assassinated key scientists and program directors. They have engaged in massive cyber attacks on Iran's atomic uranium enrichment facilities, their centrifuges, but they have fallen short of an actual kinetic airstrike on Iran's facilities. And I've argued, by the way, for years, Bill, and I've said that on this show, that until very recently, at least, Israel has not needed to engage in a kinetic strike on Iran's nuclear weapons facilities because they have pushed back the program by a number of years. I think now, and we know this from the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, we know now that Iran has enough highly enriched uranium today to make 6 nuclear warheads. They can make 10 within a month. I think the time for some kind of greater Israeli action against Iran is coming imminently. It's coming at us like a freight train. Israel is, I don't think they want to fight a three-front war. So I think they want to finish the Hamas war. If they have to go in and take greater action against Hezbollah, they will do that. And then they will go after Iran.
Again, now, why does Iran always seem immune to any type of a consequence for the things they've done? They've killed hundreds of U.S. Marines in Beirut, that barracks that was blown up. They've destroyed a couple of U.S. embassies in Africa. They've attacked, either directly or through their proxies, U.S. shipping. Why do they get away with this? It seems like they're just totally immune to any type of a response.
Yeah, 130 attacks on U.S. Bases and outposts in Syria and Iraq since October 17th, and innumerable attacks from the Houthis, missile strikes on commercial shipping in the Red Sea, the Bab al-Mandeb. Look, I go back to this old saying from V.I. Lenin, if people remember Lenin. You know, he said this, you probe with bayonets. If you find mush, you push. If you find steel, you withdraw. So the Iranians are probing, they're probing us, by the way. We're the ones that they are probing. And they find mush. So they just keep on pushing. They keep on attacking. This was the lesson that Donald Trump finally learned in January of 2020. He said, enough is enough. Qasem Soleimani is coming to Baghdad to basically take charge of the attack on the U.S. embassy there and to attack other facilities. It's time to hit hard. And he hit hard. He struck Qasem Soleimani. It was the right thing to do, in my opinion. Most, Middle East experts warned hysterically that any strike against Qasem Soleimani or any other Iranian official would be met with just terrible, terrible retaliation by the Iranians. They launched missile strikes on Al-Assad base, north of Baghdad, having warned the Iraqis ahead of time. We had no fatalities. There were U.S. soldiers who were injured and injured grievously, but no fatalities. And the Iranians, after that, did nothing more. They understand the use of force. We are not using force against them, so they just continue attacking us.
Well, you know, we've talked about this for many years on this show, and I'm just thinking about how many lives would have been saved if they would have taken out the Ayatollahs years ago. I mean, they call Israel the little Satan, the United States the great Satan. They say they're going to destroy both, and why let them continue to develop atomic weapons, which is really the only way they can do that? I mean, one nuke in New York, and it's probably pretty well all over. And the idea that they have the possibility of doing that drives me crazy. I got that in your book, Countdown to Crisis, where you talk about a tramp steamer launching an atomic attack on Washington, D.C., and that's very, very scary. And the reason it's scary is because it appears to be so possible. In any event, we are coming up on the next break of today's show. You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolfe. I'm your host today. My guest extraordinaire is Ken Timmerman on the phone, and he will be back after the break. And again, I remind you about the listener dinner, January 21, 5:30 at the Ethiopian restaurant at 1740 East McDowell. Park in the back. It'll be a wonderful food and wonderful opportunity to meet other listeners and the show hosts. I guarantee you, people who have gone to the previous listener dinners have always been very happy that they did so. So please remember, 2 weeks from today, January 21 at 5:30. And I'd like to thank you for continuing to support the show by using the services of my advertisers. By the way, this Ethiopian restaurant is a fairly new advertiser on the show. They've been advertising a couple of months now, and this will give them a great kickstart to continue doing so, because they'll see what power the radio has to get business for the various advertisers. Please stay with us. We'll be right back with Ken Timmerman and your questions. Now is a good time to give us a call. I hate for anybody to be shut out. We'll be right back.
Tokyo Express, next to Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe on the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback, has been serving great food since 1982. A fast food Japanese restaurant at a reasonable price. Take out or sit in and enjoy. Either way, you'll be back for more. That's Tokyo Express on the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback in Phoenix. Telephone 602-277-4666. Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning Offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate planning, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 20 years. Founding partner Carmen Saccone has over 40 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities and advisory services are offered through the LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA/SIPC. Gilligan's on Maryland, on the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland, is much more than just a great Shell station and mini-mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum, check them out in the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland in Phoenix. That's Gilligan's on Maryland. Phone number 602-277-6269.
Thanks for listening to Middle East Radio Forum. I am your host and creator of the show, Attorney William Wolf. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association and have been in practice since 1971. I handle injury and wrongful death claims and do go to court if necessary to achieve the best possible results for all my clients. It is often impossible to achieve full value if your attorney does not have the reputation of being willing to go to court on all matters. The high-volume, impersonal TV and billboard attorneys do not have that reputation. The insurance companies know who is willing to work for full value and adjust their settlement offers accordingly. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. My phone is 602-279-1914. I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you.
You are listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@AOL.com. That's radioforum@AOL.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolf.
Well, welcome back to today's very important edition of Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolf. My guest is Ken Timmerman. Ken's a terrific guest here many times in his 12th book of nonfiction, and the rest is history. Tales of hostages, arms dealers, dirty tricks, and spies can be ordered from Amazon. You know how to do that if you buy books at all. Okay, let's go to a question first. Jack from Scottsdale is on the air.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Kimmerman, for being back. It's a pleasure to hear your voice and your ideas. It seems to me that Israel is taking a pretty strong stand at this point to want to destroy Hamas. Isn't this the opportune time for them also to continue no conciliation ceasefire and take out Hezbollah also. Those are the two major tools that Iran has to try to destroy Israel from a distance. It seems appropriate to take out both while you've got the opportunity to do so. I'd be interested in your reaction to that.
All right. Thanks for that question, Jack. One thing about Hezbollah, though, they're centered in Lebanon, and that I think would take an invasion of another country. And so that's very different than the Gaza situation. But anyway, I'll let Ken answer the question.
Well, thanks for the question. And remember, in 2006, they were in a war with Hezbollah, and the Israelis were inside Lebanon battling Hezbollah. And they destroyed an awful lot of Lebanon's infrastructure during that war, and the Lebanese don't want that to happen again. There is tremendous pressure on Hezbollah not to step beyond whatever the red line is. Nobody really knows what the red line is at this point, but they're careful not to go so far in their attacks on Israel, despite those 1,700 rockets you mentioned earlier, Bill. They're careful not to go so far as to provoke a full-out Israeli onslaught. Should the Israelis do it? You know, Israel cannot fight wars without great provocation, tremendous provocation. They have more provocation from Hezbollah this time, probably, than they did in 2006, but they have got their hands full with the war in Gaza. My guess is, and I don't have hard information on this, but my guess is they want to fight one war at a time, and if Hezbollah does not then back off from their attacks, then you will see greater strikes by Israel. They're fighting Hezbollah now. They are fighting Hezbollah. Bill, I wanted to add something really important to our earlier discussion about, you know, how many lives could we have saved had we here in the United States had a different position towards Iran, had we stood up against Iranian attacks earlier on. I mentioned in my book, And the Rest is History, which you can get at my website too, kentimmerman.com, I mentioned the attack on the U.S. Embassy in Beirut in 83. I was there on the ground. I mentioned the attack on the Marines in October. And we had the opportunity then to strike against Iran, to strike against their proxies in Lebanon. And Caspar Weinberger pulled the plug on the counterstrike. And we pulled the Marines out of Lebanon, and the rest is history. Since then, the Iranians understood from that they can push us and we will not respond. Had we responded at that time, and I say this in the book, I think the whole history of the Middle East in the past 40 years would have been different.
Don't you always have to punch a bully in the nose to make sure that he doesn't do what he normally would do?
Absolutely right. And that's what we should have done with the Iranian regime. And again, it was the Arabists in the State Department. Colin Powell was Cap Weinberger's military aide. He is the one who, by the way, who blocked the intelligence from reaching Weinberger and the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the president, really, about Iran's direct orders to what we now know as Hezbollah in Lebanon to attack the U.S. Marines, killing 241 Marines, huh?
Right. Ken, are you a native-born American?
Bill, I am an 11th generation native-born American.
Well,
yes,
then,
sir.
Then I'm going to vote for you for president. How's that sound? but you got to run first before I could vote for you.
Yeah, not going there, my friend.
Okay. That is a lousy job, that's for sure, but an important one, certainly. Now, we're coming up on the next break, and very briefly, I want to ask you, does Lebanon have any control whatsoever over Hezbollah, or is Hezbollah just free to act the way they want to act? Yeah, I'll give you 1 minute, then we go to break.
Yeah, Hezbollah has control over Lebanon. That's the problem. The Lebanese government is basically has been infiltrated. They are controlled by Hezbollah. Hezbollah controls the Interior Ministry. They control the borders. They control the South, obviously. They control half of the army. The Lebanese government, such as it is incapable of stopping Hezbollah. All they can do, and they're doing it, is talk to Hezbollah leaders and say, you know, we really, really, really don't want you to get our country destroyed a second time. And that's what's going on. And there are a lot of Shia in Lebanon who don't want that to happen either. So there is a weight of public opinion that is the only deterrent on Hezbollah at this time.
Okay, very good. All right, we are coming up on that break. I know we have a call from Eric. We'll get to that call after the break. You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum here on 960 The Patriot. My name is William Wolfe. I'm your host today. Mayor Jolovitz will be the host next Sunday, and he's going to talk about things that we usually talk about here. In any event, I'll give you a little bit more information in a few minutes, but it's very, very important that you support the show, because the show is dependent on the advertisers and even some listener donations. So I'd like you to keep using the services of the advertisers, and it's very important to let them know you're doing so because they advertise on this program. They need to know that their dollars are well spent. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you need heart surgery, do you choose your surgeon from an ad on TV or a billboard? Of course not. Choosing your accident attorney also should not be done so casually and without thought. I'm William Wolfe, creator of Middle East Radio Forum and an injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I only advertise on this show where you can get to know me and my values. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Please give me a call if you have need for an injury attorney at 602-279-1914. No charge for our first meeting, and I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. That's 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you and working to achieve the best possible results for your injury claim.
Gilligan's on Maryland, on the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland, is much more than just a great Shell station and mini mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum, check them out in the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland in Phoenix. That's Gilligan's on Maryland. Phone number 602-277-6269.
Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe has terrific sushi, salads, rice and noodle dishes, soup, and even great pasta. On the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback, it will become your favorite Asian restaurant. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum for more than 10 years, it is simply the best place for a great Asian lunch or dinner. That's Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe on the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback. Tell them that William Wolfe sent you there. Telephone 602-248-9090.
Thanks for listening to Middle East Radio Forum. I am your host and creator of the show, Attorney William Wolfe. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association and have been in practice since 1971. I handle injury and wrongful death claims and do go to court if necessary to achieve the best possible results for all my clients. It is often impossible to achieve full value if your attorney does not have the reputation of being willing to go to court on all matters. The high-volume, impersonal TV and billboard attorneys do not have that reputation. The insurance companies know who is willing to work for full value and adjust their settlement offers accordingly. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. My phone is 602-279-1914. I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you.
You are listening to the Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. To join in the conversation, call anytime at 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Outside of the Valley, call toll-free 888-960-9696. Questions are also welcome at radioforum@aol.com. That's radioforum@aol.com. Now back to your host, Attorney William J. Wolfe.
Welcome back to today's edition of Middle East Radio Forum. My name is William Wolfe. My guest is Ken Timmerman. Fortunately, this is the longest segment we have, so please get your calls in so we can get them answered. I do have a caller waiting, as I mentioned. Eric from Tempe, you're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Obama had a chance years ago to support the Iranian resistance, and question number one, what is the proportion of the Iranians that actually support the mullahs? And number two, how much is Israel and the United States supporting any efforts by the Iranians themselves to get rid of these dogs? Thank you.
Very good and an important question as well. You know, I wrote in Countdown to Crisis, which came out a while ago. I did a revised version in 2021, and you can get that as a pretty expensive, inexpensive Kindle book from my website, KenTimmerman.com. I wrote about the U.S. relationship to Iranian opposition groups, and it was Clinton who cut off those ties in 1995, cut them off completely. How many Iranians support the regime? My best guess is around 15%. These are hardcore supporters. They are people who owe their jobs, their livelihoods to the regime. They're people who work for the militia organizations of the regime, who work in various preferred industries. They make their living. They make their money from the regime, and they're privileged, and they're making a very good living. The rest of the people are paying a very high price. How do you mobilize them is the really toughest thing of all. They have risen up many times in recent years. You mentioned Obama, 2009. 3 million Iranians in the street protesting the regime, protesting a stolen election. They were even holding up signs in English, "Obama, are you with us?" And Obama stayed silent for 3 weeks. Very clear, he was not with them. Since then, they have risen up, even during President Trump's time. At least President Trump said the right things in public. He supported them through public diplomacy and through his statements from the White House. Not been the case with Joe Biden. I believe that the United States has to change policy. We must help the people of Iran to free themselves from this tyrannical regime. We don't need boots on the ground. We don't need to send them weapons, but we do need to give them help. And I think that a future president, a Republican president, has the opportunity to do that if he can get beyond the State Department Middle East, quote, experts who want to appease this regime until kingdom come.
Okay, thanks for that call, Eric. We have a caller now also from Scottsdale. That is Mark. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yeah, Ken, hello there. People seem to forget history sometimes. And am I right in assuming that in the 300 B.C., didn't Alexander the Great go into Gaza and completely destroy it?
Hey, Mark, how are you? I knew you would ask me a question I might not be able to answer. I don't remember Alexander the Great going south. I remember him going from all through Turkey into Afghanistan, sowing these blonde babies everywhere. Eventually, winding up, you probably are right, because he wound up in Egypt, which is how come we have a city called Alexandria. So he might have gone through Gaza and burned it, but I remember especially his retreat, return to Babylon along the Persian Gulf and the swamps of southern Iran along the Gulf, and he gave his troops every day a double ration of wine because it gave them courage to march on.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
go ahead, Mark.
One last thing I was going to ask you. If you all read the book of Zechariah, there's some good news. In the book of Zechariah, God has a plan for what Gaza is going to happen to them. It's going back to Israel. And you all, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Go ahead, Ken.
Mark, it's extraordinary that you mentioned that, because I was in Israel recently with a very dear friend of mine who is a secular Jew. And we were standing at the Western Wall, and he quoted Zechariah 4:8 to me. And he said, you know, Zechariah said this, that the old men and the old women will be living peacefully in Jerusalem, and they will be hearing the shouts of their children in the streets. He says, isn't that what this is all about?
Yeah. Okay. Again, thanks for the call, Mark. Let's move on here. Let's see. What else do we want to talk about? Situation with UNRWA in Gaza. Did UNRWA have a role in the Gaza situation directly or indirectly?
Well, UNRWA, you know, you talk about the sorcerer's apprentice. UNRWA has been teaching, as we mentioned earlier, a whole generation of children in the schools to hate Jews and to hate Israel. They've also been using those schools as terror training camps in the summertime. And it was extraordinary. I just watched a video earlier today of Israeli President Herzog in an interview with NBC, where he held up a document that they had seized from the Al-Qassam brigades, talking about their terror summer camps for children. He omitted one word, UNRWA. He said that the Palestinians were going to just conduct these terror training camps, but he forgot to tell people they were using those UNRWA facilities. UNRWA is an organization that really, it should be disbanded. It will not be disbanded. So it can't be, and it must be reformed, totally reformed. There must be international supervision. I believe the Israelis have to have their own security supervision of UNRWA facilities in the future. I think a post-war era in Gaza will involve a very significant Israeli security presence. I don't think there's any way of getting around it. They have to be able to prevent Hamas from reemerging from the ashes, and they have to be able to prevent the UNRWA schools and hospitals from being used as military facilities, which is what they're being used as today. By the way, that is a double war crime. You know, number one, Hamas is firing rockets at civilians in Israel, and specifically targeting civilians. Number two, they're firing them from protected areas, from schools and hospitals. And those schools and hospitals are controlled by UNRWA, and UNRWA has never done anything to prevent Hamas from doing that.
Okay, I want to go back to Iran. There was this large explosion, a lot of people killed on January 3rd. And of course, they initially blame Israel. Maybe they're still blaming Israel. What's going on with that?
Well, this was quite interesting, actually. Over 100 people killed, several hundred wounded at Qasem Soleimani's gravesite. Remember, he is the former head of the Quds Force that President Trump killed on the 3rd of January 2020 because he was planning more terror attacks against the United States. Now, they say 100 innocent civilians, 300 innocent civilians killed. I don't know how many innocent Iranians were going to commemorate Qasem Soleimani's death. I really don't. Maybe there were some, maybe some of his family members, but I tend to think they were mainly Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps officers and their friends. So let's just leave that on one side. The ISIS took responsibility for this. ISIS-K, ISIS Khorasan, they're a group inside Pakistan. They have a beef with the Shias. All right. It may have been them. They took responsibility for it. But I say, look, this kind of attack shows that even the terrorist state of Iran is not immune from terror. I hope that they would take a lesson from it. I know that they won't.
Okay, back to Gaza. I assume at some point it'll be over, and then what happens next? Is Israel going to still supply them with electricity and water and cement so they can build their terror tunnels again? I mean, it's been insanity. I mean, we've talked about this on the show many times. Why would Israel supply electric, water, and cement to people they know hate them and are going to use these things to cause terrorism and to kill Israelis?
Basically, because they are forced to by the international community, and Israel does not want to be on the outside of the international community, banned by the international community. They still want to be respected as a state and as a government, and they cannot just, they can't get rid of the Palestinians. They are their neighbors. There will be, as I said, intense Israeli security presence inside of Gaza, and they will be watching where all the cement goes. I can guarantee you that. Here's a bit of good news for you, Bill. I believe that the two-state solution, despite the fact that Blinken and others are still talking about it, I think it's dead. I think it's finished. I think Hamas killed it on October 7th. How can you expect Israel to live alongside a state full of people who want to murder them, who want to exterminate them, when already they're living next to a government that does not have all the power and the attributes of a state, and they carried out October 7th. I don't think any reasonable person can expect Israel to go forward with this idea of a Palestinian state. They have to have a long-term security presence inside Gaza and the West Bank.
And we've been saying on the show for years and years, it's a delusion, a two-state delusion, because it's never going to happen. Again, you can't have peace with people who only want you and your family dead. And right. I say it all the time, from the river to the sea, from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean, Palestine will be free, which means that all the Jews are dead. So that's not going to happen. Now, what up briefly about the Abraham Accords? That's a fairly recent, in terms of history, fairly recent situation. Has that changed the regional equation at all?
It's a phenomenal achievement of the Trump administration, of Jared Kushner, who was really pushing this, where Israel signs peace agreements with five of its Arab neighbors. I mean, absolutely extraordinary. One of the things that happened as a result was you had an expansion of trade between Israel and the United Arab Emirates in particular, but not just the UAE, others as well, Morocco and the beginnings with Sudan. And that also led those countries to be less quick to condemn Israel after the war in Gaza began. They were more understanding that Israel had to fight back, that they had to eradicate Hamas. And you know what the real dirty secret is, Bill, in the Middle East, and I'm sure you know this, the Arab leaders hate Hamas, and they hate the Palestinians. and they pay lip service to a Palestinian state, they pay lip service to not attacking Palestinian civilians. They really do not want to see another Muslim Brotherhood state emerge in the Middle East. Saudi Arabia has been attacked by the Muslim Brotherhood. Egypt has been attacked by the Muslim Brotherhood. So have most of these other countries. Terror organizations, branches of the Muslim Brotherhood, whether it's Al-Qaeda or it's ISIS, they have attacked many of these governments in the Middle East. They don't want to see another Muslim Brotherhood organization in Gaza. So I think that is also a benefit of the Abraham Accords, and people don't give Donald Trump enough credit for that. It dramatically changed the Middle East. It is the way forward for Israel to have that type of agreement with its Arab neighbors. And by the way, I think one of the reasons the Iranians launched this attack on October 7th was to block the ongoing talks between Bibi Netanyahu and the Saudis, to bring the Saudis into the Abraham Accords and to have Israel be a energy transit corridor between Saudi Arabia and Europe. That's what he talked about at the UN on September 18th, and I think it really shook the Iranians and probably pushed up their timetable for attacking Israel.
Well, you know, it's a good thing that the Arab countries do not like Iran. Iran is not Arab, it's Persian. And they've had animosity for decades, if not centuries, which is a good thing. I mean, you don't want united enemies against Israel. It's a good thing if the enemies are fighting each other.
Right, and the Iranians have attacked them. They've attacked them repeatedly, recently. And the Saudis have been in a proxy war with them in Yemen. So I think the Iranians were absolutely desperate when they saw this rapprochement between Israel and Saudi Arabia in particular. And that was intensifying in over the summer and in September. And they said, we've got to put an end to this. And luckily, my sense, my reading of this is that they have not put an end to it. They have just put it on ice. It will thaw. Relations will thaw again. It may take a year or 2 years, but they will thaw. And the Iranians will be sidelined, and the Israelis will once again have solid alliances with their Arab neighbors.
Okay, Ken, we're about at the end of the show. I'll give you another minute to sum up anything you haven't said.
Well, that was the good news I wanted to leave our listeners with, is that there is a positive future for Israel and its neighbors. And the second thing is that I believe this truly has, this war, Hamas's actions on October 7th have ended any illusion of a two-state solution. It's going to take time for that to reach into the policy community, but I think it will, bit by bit, and I certainly will be doing my bit to make sure it does. Please go to my website, kentimmerman.com. You can find my articles there. You can sign up. I do a weekly newsletter, an email, just one. I also do a weekly podcast on political events, kentimmerman.com. I'd love KenTimmerman.com, and you can find my books there as well.
All right. Then, Ken, great presentation. Thank you very much. Next Sunday, Mayor Jalvis returns. He's going to talk about coming to terms with the truth. The United States and Western world's irrational pressures against Israel have made the Gaza war unwinnable. Mayor is a great host, very interesting information. And again, I'm going to remind you, listener dinner on January 21st, 5:30, at the Ethiopian restaurant at 1740 East McDowell Park in the back. It'll be a wonderful evening, meeting other listeners, meeting the hosts. I promise you, you're going to enjoy it. And the food is also terrific. Thanks for listening. I appreciate that very much. And I look forward to seeing you as much as possible on January 21st.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.